Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTSOVERNIGHTAMERICA.
This is America on the Road, named best radio show by the International Automotive Media Conference, and now in its 31st year on the air. Thanks for being with us as we bring you the latest automotive information from around the world. I'm Jack Nerad, and with me is co-host Chris Teague. Chris, it is great to have you back on the show after you being absent last week. Are you sick of winter yet?
Oh, I am sick of winter, and the kids' activities never stop. So those two things put together mean that things get a little crazy around here. How are things on your side of the world?
Much better. We're expecting tons of rain here, which I guess is a good thing given what we've had before, but we'll see how that goes. Rain is always challenging to Southern California drivers. Interesting. Let's dive into what we're going to talk about this week, Chris. A report says that Chevrolet plans to drop one of its conventionally powered SUVs from the U.S. market after this model year. We'll tell you which one that is. And the surprising place where it will continue to be sold, I'll tell you about that. Elon Musk has taken time off from Doge to announce that Tesla will launch its robo-taxi service much earlier than expected. We'll have details on that. See how skeptical we are about that. A new electric vehicle charging network has just gone into business, just as automakers call for continued work on the federally sponsored EV charging infrastructure. More on that to talk about. And you might be sick of tariff talk. I certainly am. But the administration has announced tariffs on steel and aluminum. It could have an impact on what you pay for your next car. So we'll have our thoughts on that. Chris, tons of stuff going on, right?
Yeah, and it seems like it's accelerating every day. So exciting times.
Yes, exciting times. Absolutely. America on the Road is brought to you by DrivingToday.com, EMLancey.com, the publisher of my latest book, Dance in the Dark, and Mercury Insurance. If you're looking to save some money, you should switch to Mercury for your auto and home insurance. Californians save an average of $670 with Mercury, so imagine how much you could save. Get a quote today at DrivingToday.com/auto insurance. That's DrivingToday.com/auto-insurance. Well, as you longtime listeners to the show know, Chris lives at one end of the country. I live at the other. Each week we get together to talk about cars, the car industry, and how you can save some money on your car. Chris, what vehicle will you be discussing with us this week?
I spent the week with the redesigned 2025 Nissan Kicks, and I can't wait to tell you all about it.
I look forward to your report, Chris. My test car is the 2025 Mazda 3. In 2.5S premium hatchback form. I tested it thoroughly driving up the California coast and back. We have a terrific guest for you this week. Brandon Turkus is Enthusiast Vehicles Communication Manager at Ford Motor Company. He's an expert on the Mustang GTD supercar, and I caught up with him at the Chicago Auto Show. I think
Lowe's knows how to help you get the most out of your store run. That's why members save more with MyLowe's Rewards. Earn points towards MyLowe's money on eligible purchases. Get access to member-only deals and free member gifts. Plus, unlock free standard shipping when you reach Silver Key status. So what are you waiting for? Join for free today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
The Columbia Interchange system was revolutionary when it was designed over 40 years ago, and it's still breaking ground to this day, featuring 3-in-1 jackets that adapt to fluctuating weather patterns to keep you warm, dry, and protected no matter what. Whatever the weather, Interchange is there. Shop Interchange jackets and more at Columbia.com.
Hi, this is Marty Terrell, Sports Overnight America. Check out our app. It's in the Apple Store right now under Sports Overnight America. Download and enjoy scores, interviews, highlights, all the podcasts. The weekend edition, Saturday night, 7 to 10 Eastern time. And weekend replays, 24-7. You can listen to Sports Byline USA, NFL, NBA, NHL, hockey, English Premier League, presented by American Premium Vodka. Enjoy responsibly.
Now at Staples, find hot deals on HP, America's most trusted printer brand. Whether you need to print invoices or eye-catching presentations, HP delivers with exceptional speed, reliability, and vibrant color. And with HP, replenishing ink is simple. Find HP ink cartridges in-store at Staples or subscribe to HP Instant Ink and never worry about running out. And right now with home and office hot deals at Staples, you can save up to $150 on select HP printers through February 1st.
Iowa EPS Products was founded in 1980 on the premise of providing the highest quality EPS products and services in the industry. Being family-owned and operated, relationships and loyalty remain the foundation on which this company was built. Providing expanded polystyrene products for commercial roofing and exterior wall insulation, as well as package products and below-grade lightweight geoform fill, Iowa EPS Products is the trusted source throughout the Midwest. Learn more at iowaepsproducts.com.
With Progressive's Name Your Price tool, you get coverage options based on how much you want to pay for car insurance. And then you decide how to spend the rest of your money, because you're in charge. And right now, you're going to pay for groceries. But you decide what groceries. Just keep in mind you're running out of dishwashing soap. But you decide if you're going to buy that soap. It's just those dishes won't clean themselves, will they? Remember, with Progressive's Name Your Price tool, we'll help you find coverage at a fair price. And then, you're in charge. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to America on the Road with Chris Teague. This is Jack Nerad back with you, and we're so glad you're with us. We really do appreciate you joining us on America on the Road. We're here each week, so if you like the show, let other people know that we're doing this show and where you listen and all of that stuff. We would appreciate that. It is news time, and interesting news, I think, from Chevrolet. It's kind of surprising, especially coming when it came here. We're getting news that General Motors is probably going to discontinue the internal combustion engine-powered version of the Chevy Blazer in North America following this model year. They, of course, want to shift toward electric vehicles, but given the timing, it seems a little odd. And one of the place where they will continue to sell the gasoline-powered vehicle, interestingly enough, is China, which is apparently known for its electric vehicles. They do a three-row version of the Blazer in China. Of course, this has to do with where they build stuff, but I'm curious about your reaction to this, Chris.
Yeah, it is an interesting move. You know, the Blazer came back in, what, 2019 or 2020? It's only been a few handful of years now. And the Blazer EV kind of got off to a rocky start. So, you know, them opting for the electric model over the gas, I can see it aligning with their strategy, but seems like it could be a little bit of a risk.
I'll tell you, the midsize SUV segment, the midsize crossover segment, where the Blazer plays is a giant segment. I mean, there's a lot of vehicles sold there and a lot of volume there. I don't think the Equinox is up to the task there. It's more of a compact SUV. So I'm scratching my head over this. I mean, sales have declined some. I think they were up toward 100,000 units a year in 2020, dropping to about 50,000 most recently. But still, it kind of makes sense to me to keep this around as a gasoline-powered vehicle, given the uncertainty about electricity going forward.
Yeah, as you point out, there's no shortage of models in the segment, and they all seem to be staying afloat just fine. I mean, they've got the Traverse in the segment, but that's a three-row, and it's a bit larger. And then, as you mentioned, the Equinox is a little bit smaller, so the Blazer was kind of a sweet spot there for in a lot of ways. So it'll be interesting to see where things go, especially with the threat of tariffs. You know, the Blazer EV is built in Mexico, so.
Yeah, a very popular name, an interesting name with a lot of history at Chevrolet, too. I'm not sure that the current Blazer actually fulfills everything that the Blazer was in years past. Kind of different than the way the Bronco kind of fulfills what the Bronco used to be for Ford Motor Company. But in any case, we'll see what happens with that. Well, I found this interesting, too. Apparently, Tesla is on the verge. I mean, we're really close to June of launching its ride-hailing service, its robo-taxi service in Austin, Texas. I think that it's a lot earlier than most people expected that this would happen. I think one of the reasons they're launching it in the Texas area is maybe the regulations in Texas are a little less stringent on driverless vehicles than they are in California. Certainly, Musk relocated his company to Austin, and it kind of makes sense that they would be doing some testing around there.
Texas is a fresh market for self-driving cars and Tesla. Californians, a lot of them have probably had their opinion soured a little bit from some of the mishaps that happened last year and the year before. But you know, I think it's interesting, and I'm not completely sure about this, but I did read, and you may have heard this too, that Tesla is going to utilize existing vehicles for the fleet to start testing. So we're going to see Model 3s, Model Ys, and things like that running around, and not the dedicated robotaxi. Again, I could be wrong there. You may know differently.
I think that makes sense, actually, as they do that. I mean, they have those platforms with them, and you know, they are equipped, or some of them, with quote-unquote full self-driving, which we have criticized in the past, and I will probably continue to criticize, because it really isn't full self-driving, at least the way I think most of us would define that. This whole robo-taxi thing is quite interesting to me. I mean, these unsupervised cars running around cities with nobody at the wheel, there have, as you mentioned, have been some mishaps with that, and it'll be interesting to see how this goes going forward.
Yeah, I guess the good news for Tesla is if they can sustain the test for a while, then they're gaining a lot of new data that they can then implement into their customer cars, not just self-driving taxis. So, I mean, it should eventually, assuming things continue for a while, like I said, help make the full self-driving tech better over time. So,
yeah, I think Musk is really looking at this autonomous driving and, you know, AI kind of hand in hand. I think in some ways AI works with autonomous driving. It makes sense to go there as the way forward, maybe more so than electric vehicles. I don't think we're going to see any gasoline powered Teslas anytime soon, or maybe ever, but interesting where that's going. A new player in the EV charging market, one could say maybe this is the greatest timing for that either. I would pronounce this Ayana. Maybe you would too. It's a joint venture that is backed by General Motors, Honda, Hyundai, and Toyota. It's officially launched its network, which is trying to rival Tesla's supercharger infrastructure. And they plan to install 1,000 charging bays by the end of this year and expand to 30,000 chargers by 2030. Maybe long overdue. maybe self-preservation for these companies who are trying to sell electric vehicles and need the infrastructure and not finding it.
Yeah, I think all those automakers have also leaned back on the Tesla supercharger network to kind of pick up the slack left by these third-party companies. But taking control over that experience is important to them, even if they're still relying on superchargers for some of that. Having control over their own network is very important for their customer retention and all sorts of other metrics, I'm sure.
Yeah. These are fast chargers, delivering up to 400 kilowatts, which is pretty strong stuff. They will be able to be compatible with both CCS and Tesla's NACS connectors, which is a good thing. They'll be open to all EVs. Kind of the supercharger network is semi-open to all EVs these days. And they're going to have lounges and food and, I like this just walk out technology where you can go into a kind of like a 7-Eleven situation and just grab the stuff and walk out and you will be charged for it. So I think that's interesting. And of course, this is a privately funded or largely privately funded effort, so I'm in favor of that as the capitalist that you know I am, Chris.
Yeah, it should also insulate them from some of the changes that are happening in the government, so you know they may be able to proceed a little bit more smoothly than some of those that were waiting on funding.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of car companies are calling on the Department of Transportation to restart the $5 billion EV infrastructure program that has been paused by the Trump administration. They're checking that out. I think we reported earlier that a remarkably few number of charging stations have been put into place by this effort over the course of the last several years since the legislation was passed. It'll be interesting to see where this goes going forward. There's a lot of changes, as you mentioned, in all of this, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, the better the network, the better it is for EV owners. And ultimately, with or without tax credits, incentives, and all those things, you know, this is going to make them more accessible for everybody. And hopefully eventually the pricing of the actual vehicles themselves becomes more reasonable to help with that too.
Yeah, I mean, I could see automakers pushing for this because, of course, spending somebody else's money, in this case, the taxpayers' money, to further their own efforts makes a lot of sense to them. I'm not certain that it makes as much sense to taxpayers, but we'll have to see what happens there. Another thing that may or may not make sense to taxpayers are these tariffs that have been put on steel and aluminum. I guess we had tariffs on steel and aluminum, but they have been raised somewhat. And apparently there were a lot of cutouts during the previous administration that for product specific exclusions to tariffs that made it almost very difficult to even administer or even understand what the tariffs were. So I think one of the goals is to just level the playing field here. From your point of view, what do you say about the tariffs going forward here?
Well, I think, you know, the U.S. steel industry, U.S. Steel, the company, in fact, you know, could use all the help that they can get. You know, the Nippon Steel, U.S. Steel merger or acquisition has been blocked by both Biden and Trump. So it's one of those things where if this is a case where tariff can actually onshore some of these things and help an industry, sure, I think in the short term, you know, people are going to learn where all the steel in their cars comes from. So we'll have to see what happens.
Yeah, and I'm sure they haven't known up till now. Maybe at some point they will learn. Remind us of the vehicle you'll be testing this
week. The 2025 Nissan Kick.
Ah, get your kicks on Route 66. Mm-hmm. I was driving the Mazda 3 2.5S Premium. So stay with us for that, and we'll be right back right here on America on the Road.
Do you want to add a boost to your sex life this weekend? Do you want to make your partner and yourself happy? Then call our special hotline now. We'll sell you those little pills that work below the belt for less than $1 a pill and deliver your package in a few days, just in time for the weekend. Our pill delivers almost the same results as expensive pills for less than a dollar a piece, and you don't need a prescription. And ask about their buy three, get three free offer. What are you waiting for? Boost your sex life and have a great time now. Less than a dollar a pill, discreet delivery in a few days, and a buy three, get three free offer? Dial this number and save it now.
800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. That's 800-229-8627. Paid for by the pharmacy shop.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way, way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road with Chris Teague, Jack Nerad, back with you for road test time. And I think we've got some very, very fascinating vehicles to talk about with one another. Nissan Kicks was the test vehicle you had, and I'd like to hear more about it.
Yeah, I spent the week in the 2025 Nissan Kicks. And Jack, I didn't get to drive the previous generation vehicle, but I will tell you that I think the improvements made to this model, I'm glad I got to test this one because I think this is the one to have. All-wheel drive is available for the first time in 2025, and the vehicle itself received a full overhaul. So you have new styling and new technology and a nicer interior. The base S-Trim, Jack, starts at around $23,000. My price as tested, I tested the top SR trim, is just shy of $31,000 all in. That's like every option you can get. Which I think is a pretty darn good deal. What do you think of the new Kicks, and have you driven it?
I have not driven it. I think it looks pretty cool. I always have kind of liked that size vehicle, and I'm excited about the fact that it now has all-wheel drive because I think that was a major shortfall before.
I agree. And as I said, you know, I didn't get to test the previous one, but I think this one, you know, looking at it from the outside, never having driven one, the packaging is great. The price is right. So getting into it, it's got a 2.0 liter four-cylinder engine, only 141 horsepower and 140 pound-feet of torque. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that's probably fine for a subcompact SUV. You're not going to be excited by the performance here, but the CVT works just fine, and the all-wheel drive system that I tested in my model works very well in the snow. You get some great traction with the right tires. I had all seasons on, but I think you do just fine without snow tires in this vehicle now that you have all-wheel drive. The ride quality is perfectly fine in this vehicle. I think that, you know, it's very small and there's some noise that you wouldn't expect from the outside, but it's very decent for in-town driving. You know, there's never a time when I was like, oh man, I can't stand the potholes or the cracks in the road, which we do have plenty of during the winter. But I think, you know, the only real complaint here is the power. And I think on the highway, you're going to miss it most there, but in town, you're not going to have any issues there at all. You get up to 27 miles per gallon in the city and up to 34 mpg on the highway. That's with all-wheel drive. It goes up to 35 mpg with front-wheel drive, which are pretty good numbers. You don't get a hybrid or an electric option with this vehicle, so it does pretty well with just the four-cylinder. And again, handling is not the most athletic here, but you know, there's not a lot of body roll and it doesn't feel mushy in the corners, so you're not going to feel like you're driving a boat or anything like that. So again, Jack, I want to get your opinion on the previous generation if you drove it. What did you think of it and what compared to what I just said about the new model?
Well, I'm excited what you've told me because it seems like they've upgraded it all the way around and without killing us on the price. I mean, that's the trade-off when you go to something like all-wheel drive. I mean, that doesn't come free. So you have to figure out whether that's something you need or want, depending on the weather conditions and where you live and all of that kind of stuff. Yeah. But it sounds to me like they've done a really good job of upgrading this for a lot of us out there.
They did. It's surprisingly refined, and it's very well put together for the prices, as you mentioned and I talked about earlier. Inside, you get cloth upholstery as standard. My SR test vehicle had synthetic leather and cloth. It's got this nice red accent to it. Red's not my favorite color, but it does give it a sporty look, and if that's your thing, then more power to you. The SR has heated front seats. And while the base model has a dual 7-inch screen, so you get a 7-inch digital gauge cluster and a 7-inch touchscreen, my top trim tester had a 12.3-inch gauge cluster and a 12.3-inch touchscreen. You get wireless Apple CarPlay and Android Auto, wireless charging, and a 10-speaker Bose audio system. Jack, we talk a lot about combining too many physical controls into a touchscreen, and Nissan left just enough of them out, like the climate controls and some other things, that it doesn't feel overwhelming while you're driving. You're not like hunting and pecking for a menu and trying to get through it. And the larger display, I haven't tested the smaller one, but the larger display, it's got plenty of processing power, so it's really snappy. Again, there's no lag. Like we talk about some systems like Subaru, where there's so many things going on that it can feel like you're kind of waiting for it. That's never the case here. And Nissan's displays, as I mentioned the last time I drove one, they're crystal clear. They have a great resolution and they're very easy to see while you're driving. So I'm going to give Nissan's infotainment like a B+ here. I think it's probably a little bit behind Uconnect from Stellantis or Ford Sync, but it's still very good. And I actually like it better than the Toyota system in my Corolla, which is also recently updated. The SR trim comes with a load of safety features here. You get Nissan ProPilot Assist, you get adaptive cruise control, blind spot monitoring, rear cross traffic alerts, a whole lot for $31,000 here. And I know that, you know, eight or nine years ago, we would say $31,000 sounds pretty expensive, but now it sounds like a bargain. And I think I'm going to say that's what I'm going to call the Nissan Kick.
Yeah, very cool. I'm concerned for Nissan's future, but I sure like what you're telling me about the Nissan Kicks. And I think their vehicles are really good, and I think they're absolutely worthy of consideration. It's kind of shocking to me that they're not so popular right now, and I'd like to see that revived a bit. Well, I was driving a vehicle that I have a lot of affinity for. It is the Mazda 3. The model I had was the 2.5S Premium. So the premium version with the base engine, but the base engine turns out to be pretty powerful. I mean, this is a nice compact hatchback vehicle, I think semi-premium, especially in the premium form that I had. Had a red leather interior, among other things, and you know, some people like it. My wife hates red leather interiors. I think it's kind of cool in its own way. I love hatchbacks. You know, Chris is negative on red leather interiors, but that's okay. Shaking your head on radio doesn't make
do I don't want to interrupt you here.
There you go. Yeah, well, feel free to interrupt at any time. As I say, this is powered by essentially the base engine, but I think it's a nice base engine, the 2.5-liter four-cylinder engine that delivers 191 horsepower. Back in the day, that would have been plenty of horsepower for any kind of compact vehicle. And this is the exciting thing for me too, Chris. This had the 6-speed manual transmission. So I really had a blast driving this vehicle with the manual. It has G-Vectoring Control Plus for stability and cornering precision, which you can't exactly feel. You just feel that it feels good. You don't really feel that thing working. Electric power steering, four-wheel disc brakes, all that kind of good stuff. This is, in a lot of ways, a decade ago, this would have been a performance version of this vehicle, right? I mean, it's got the good stuff.
It does. And, you know, I keep coming back to Mazda's ability to offer like 30 trims and configurations of every vehicle. And I'm glad that they're able to give a car a subcompact car red leather upholstery, which is very unique in the segment. So good for them.
Yeah, it's good looking outside, too. I think it has the same basic profile of your Corolla. Your Super Corolla that you have. It has 18-inch black finish alloy wheels with you know, big tires, black front grille, LED headlights, daytime running lights, and taillights. It's a sharp-looking vehicle. It had a power sliding glass moonroof, which I never use because I just don't care about that so much. But, you know, all the bells and whistles, that's good stuff. Premium cabin, as I mentioned, leather-trimmed interior, and you know, they just look upscale here. Heated front seats, 60-40 split folding rear seats. I mean, your take on these Mazda interiors, Chris?
Yeah, they're comfortable. They feel and look premium, and they make the vehicles, you know, feel special, even though they're not that expensive. So we've talked about it at length, but I love Mazda's interiors.
Yeah. Had keyless entry, which, you know, came in handy as I drove up to San Luis Obispo to visit my youngest daughter in college, along with my wife, and we had her in the car. We had her boyfriend in the car. We had a lot of stuff in the car, actually, which is, it's not that big a car, but swallowed up a lot of gear because we were dropping some stuff off with her. Dual zone automatic climate control, so it was comfortable inside and out. My wife likes it cool. I like it warm. I turned on the heated seats and had them at 3 most of the time, and she was down at 68 on her side of the dual climate control.
We're the opposite in my house.
Yeah, there you go. Well, it has an 8.8-inch center display, and I'll tell you, in these days, that's getting to look a little small, especially where it's located, which is a little farther away from the driver than in most vehicles. And we're going to do this dance, I guess, again about Mazda and not being touchscreen, but you know, it generally worked out fine. I understood how to do it. But like I say, I think the screen's a little small these days.
It is. It's very wide, but it's also kind of narrow and it's horizontally oriented. Like, as you say, it's far away. But when you first see it, you kind of squint a little bit. But you do get used to it over time.
Yeah. Well, we put on Apple CarPlay and did some navigation in that way. It also has Alexa built in, which I'm not an Alexa person, so didn't do much with Alexa. And she didn't do much with me, for that matter. But this has a 12-speaker audio system, Bose audio system, so plenty of volume and good sounds coming out of the entertainment system. Tons of safety equipment in this vehicle. Mazda really goes out of their way to fill their vehicles with safety equipment, including their adaptive cruise control, blind spot monitoring, rear cross traffic alert. All this stuff is standard lane departure warning, lane keeping assist, just a ton of safety stuff. So again, more so than most vehicles that it competes with, I think they do a very good job with that, right?
Yeah, I agree. If you look at some of the vehicles that you might consider otherwise, what like the Volkswagen Golf GTI, you mentioned the Toyota Corolla, the Mazda, I think beats both of them on standard equipment on the low end, and on the high end, you get plenty of stuff and an entertaining driving experience for less money than, you know, the GR Corolla or the Golf GTI and top trim. So good for them.
It was an engaging car to drive. It's not the fastest car around, but you don't expect that out of this vehicle. But if you want more horsepower, you can go to the turbo. You're going to spend a lot more money for that. And I think a lot of people would just find this terrifically fun. Like I say, a fun to drive, engaging vehicle with a base MSRP of about $31,000, $30,650. The price as tested with delivery was $32,000. Again, as you were just saying about the kicks, there was a time we would have said, well, it's kind of expensive. But I think in these days, we're looking at this as being somewhat of a bargain, right?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, pretty cool car. And cool vehicles. We had both of them. So, and now we have a terrific guest for you coming up. Brandon Tarkus is Enthusiast Vehicles Communication Manager at Ford, talking about the Mustang GTD supercar. So stay with us for that, and we'll be right back right here on America on the Road.
IBM will become the official global partner of UFC, the world's premier mixed martial arts organization. Together, IBM and UFC are pioneering a product to revolutionize analytics and information in live sports. This includes unique insights and advanced analysis of live bouts, fighter tendencies, projections of possible outcomes, and method of victory, all of which will be engineered to update in real-time on-screen data. This partnership marks a pivotal win, not only for UFC and IBM, but also for fans around the world who will experience the sport in a whole new way. Sponsored by IBM.
Feeling the pressure to find Valentine's Day gifts they'll love? Then you gotta go to Kohl's. They have something for every Valentine. Go fun and unexpected with a Lego set. Go luxe with a Sephora fragrance. Go classic with a diamond necklace and more. Then get 15% off some of your gifts, or you can save with a Kohl's card. However you plan to celebrate, Kohl's has you covered with lots to love. Select styles. Coupons do not apply to Lego. Coupons and Kohl's cash do not apply to Sephora. Offers end February 17th. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
All aboard!
There's a new way to travel, and it's one of the oldest forms of transportation. Travel by train. Yes, consider traveling around the United States on Amtrak. Traveling by train is a lot less of a headache than taking a plane, and you'd be surprised how many places you can go on an Amtrak, and there's no passports or IDs needed. Find out how to get where you're going as soon as tomorrow by train. Call the Amtrak Travel Hotline right now. We'll book your trip and email your tickets within minutes. Skip the drive to the airport and skip the lines. Call right now to book your Amtrak reservations. We service most of the United States.
All aboard!
Do something new. Travel by Amtrak today.
800-262-3903. 800-262-3903. 800-262-3903. That's 800-262-3903.
The Columbia Interchange System was revolutionary when it was designed over 40 years ago, and it's still breaking ground to this day, featuring 3-in-1 jackets that adapt to fluctuating weather patterns to keep you warm, dry, and protected no matter what. Whatever the weather, Interchange is there. Shop Interchange jackets and more at Columbia.com.
Getting together with friends to watch the game? Then you'll need American Premium Vodka. Handcrafted and pure, this is the one thing all Americans can agree on. Founder Mark Gus Scott chose the finest natural elements America has to offer, and you'll taste how great it is to be an American. Now available at BevMo, GoPuff, Hy-Vee, and Fairway stores. American Premium Vodka. This is the America we need right now. Go to AmericanPremiumVodka.com. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road. Jackie Redd with you. We're at the Chicago Auto Show where they're filing in from lunch here, and we're at what is arguably the coolest car at the show, Ford Mustang GTD. With me is Brandon Turkus, expert on this. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so this is the Mustang GTD Spirit of America. It is the first special edition Mustang GTD we have introduced. Came out a couple weeks ago at the Detroit Auto Show, and it's really inspired by a story of American ingenuity. Story of Craig Breedlove, who was the first man to break the 400, 500, and 600 mile an hour land speed records. He did it using a $500 jet engine that he got from a Korean War fighter and put it into a car and then set out and set these land speed records at a time when it was dominated by European aristocrats and playboys. So the parallels with Mustang GTD going to the Nürburgring and doing something no car from an American automaker has ever done before really resonated with us as we were developing this.
Yeah, kind of a shot across the bow, I guess, of the really expensive European cars, exotic cars, the big luxury brands from Europe. Get us into the details on that, because I think that's what you're trying to do.
Yeah, I mean, so we wanted to create a supercar with the soul of a Mustang.
So this is a fairly rare vehicle, but it's something that civilians can buy, I guess, right?
Yeah, so there's going to be an application process for ordering one. We've already closed applications for 2025 and 2026. But as soon as they open back up, you can shoot your shot and try and get a Mustang GTD.
Mm-hmm. Do you have to send in a resume? How do you qualify?
Yeah, so there's an application process where we ask you a number of questions. We want to make sure that the people that are getting a Mustang GTD are actually going to use it. This is not a trailer plane. This is a car that is meant to be driven. And we want to make sure that the folks that buy it do that.
Yeah, and it's a street car too, right?
It is
designed for the street. Well, and plus, right? In a way, it's designed for the street. Talk about that.
Yeah, so it is a street legal, fully registered Mustang road car. You can take this to your local DMV, and they will give you a license plate for it, and you can drive it to your heart's content. But it's also fantastic on the racetrack, as we showed at the Nürburgring when we set a sub-7-minute lap, first American brand to do that.
Yeah. Pretty amazing.
First and only American.
And it is always great to go to Nürburgring, isn't it? I was lucky enough to drive there years and years ago, decades ago now, when I was at Motor Trend, and it's still very, very cool, is it not?
It is the benchmark by which sports cars are measured. And so for us to go there, I think only five other vehicles have set a sub-7-minute lap in the Mustangs class. So it's an extremely small group of vehicles that have done this.
Right, right. Walk us through the vehicle in some detail, starting with powertrain, would you?
Yeah, so every Mustang GTD has a 5.2-liter supercharged V8 with 815 horsepower. Top speed is 202 miles an hour. It is the fastest, most powerful Mustang road car that we have ever produced. It's different than other Mustangs in that it has a rear transaxle. 7-speed dual clutch, so really fantastic weight distribution. Carbon fiber body, carbon ceramic brakes, semi-active suspension with Multimatic ASV dampers, and inboard rear dampers that are kind of like what you would get on a prototype race car or a Formula One car.
Tell me about that. I don't really, how does that work?
So essentially we have two dampers that cross at the middle of the car like this. And you can actually see them. There's a window in the back of the car where you can watch them work. And what that does is brings weight more towards the center line of the vehicle, better packaging, and just a bit more of a performance pedigree.
Very good. And what kind of tires?
These are Michelin Cup 2R tires.
Okay. And good to what miles per hour? 250?
At least 202, because that's the car's top speed.
Yeah, exactly. So is that electronically limited, or that's just the top speed of the car?
That is what we've managed to pull off so far. There is a limit on there, but that's what we're listing as.
What has it done, like 0 to 60 or quarter mile time?
We haven't shared any of that yet.
Feel free to share it now.
I would, but I actually don't know.
Okay. Well, that's a good answer, too.
I know that Mustang Dark Horse is in the high 3-second range, so This has 300 more horsepower, so,
yeah, so you're looking,
let your imagination run wild.
Yeah, yeah. I'm thinking 3.2, 3? Second? Yeah, you're not going to, yeah.
No idea.
Yeah, it's hard to say. Making faces isn't great on radio, but that's okay.
It's all good. I've often been told I have a face for radio.
Yeah, I'm the one with the face for radio. What do you think is the coolest thing about this car?
The coolest thing, it is a road-going race car. It's something we've never really done with Mustang. We're doing a lot of things we've never done with Mustang. Mustang GT3 won the Rolex 24 a few weeks ago. Super prestigious endurance race. And this car takes a lot of that car's character and puts it on the road. And we've never done that with Mustang before.
It's interesting. We're seeing a lot of electric performance cars now, right? I mean, maybe not so much from Ford Motor Company, but we're seeing a ton of them, and we're seeing some from Ford Motor Company, too. Like, there's some desire for electric performance, I guess. Mm-hmm. I'm still one of those old school guys that likes gasoline-powered performance, and this, in some ways, is old school with a lot of new tech in it. Is that a way you would describe it?
I mean, it is cutting edge performance technology. Carbon ceramic brakes, carbon fiber body. These are things that, a few years ago were, you had to spend $1 million.
Let our listeners know why those brakes are so good. Why carbon ceramic brakes?
So carbon ceramic brakes have an extremely high heat tolerance and immense stopping power. So they're really designed for high performance, for repeated high speed braking, and they give you a more sure-footed braking experience.
Yeah, and really the Nürburgring puts a car through that, right? I mean, a lot of turns,
13 miles, huge elevation changes, extremely bumpy, very high speeds. We cracked 190 miles an hour thereabouts.
Wow.
During our testing there. So it is like I said, it is the benchmark for sports cars.
Right. Did you drive it on the track there or on the course?
I've never driven the Nürburgring before outside of video games. We had Dirk Muller, who is a Ford Performance driver and a Multimatic driver, handling the testing duties, and
he's
much more accomplished on the ring than I am.
You really don't want to throw one of these away.
I mean,
in that kind of situation either, do you?
I think that would be abuse. You can't throw one of these away.
No,
look at
no.
this.
Yeah, absolutely. It's spectacular. What has been the reaction so far to this vehicle?
It's been overwhelmingly positive. People are excited to see Ford doing something like this with Mustang, taking it in a new direction, and really building a Mustang like we've never had before.
Yeah. I think because it's a Mustang, I mean, Ford has had, the Ford GT was, of course, wildly good performance car in a lot of ways, but it didn't, I don't think it really resonates the same way Mustang does. I mean, Mustang just has so many fans from so many generations that I think it's a whole different level.
Well, Mustang, everybody has a Mustang story. Everybody, you can talk to a random person on the street and they'll tell you about their buddy in high school that had a Mustang and they would go out on the weekends in it, or the person that got a Mustang as their first car, or a person that retired and they finally got the Mustang that they've always wanted. Everybody has a story with this vehicle. So the fact that we're now doing that at a performance level that we've never reached before, it just means that there are going to be even more stories that come from Mustang.
Yeah. Do you have a Mustang story?
I do. I have a 2024 Mustang GT convertible, and for the 60th anniversary of Mustang last year at Charlotte Motor Speedway, I road tripped it from Detroit down through North Carolina and into Charlotte for the weekend, and it was my first real road trip experience as a Mustang owner.
Yeah,
wouldn't trade it for anything.
Yeah, it's got to be awesome, right? It's got to be awesome. We're seeing your key competitor, Camaro, go away. Maybe you didn't even see it as a key competitor. Maybe it wasn't keeping up the way that Mustang has continued to progress. But what do you think the future is for this type of vehicle?
We've been on the record that we're going to continue building Mustangs. We're going to continue building V8 Mustangs. It's an important part of the business for us, and it's an important car for Ford. It's really the heart and soul of Ford is Mustang. So it's something we're committed to, and we've said as much.
Right. And there's some other more approachable Mustang performance vehicles, too, in the offing, right?
Yeah.
Tell us about that a little bit.
So we just previewed last month at the Detroit Auto Show the Mustang RTR. It's based on the Mustang EcoBoost, and it's really designed to be a factory drift car. Developed with in collaboration with Vaughn Gittin Jr. and RTR. It's one of the most exciting Mustangs we've come out with in a while. We haven't really done a lot of performance with the EcoBoost, but this thing is perfect 50-50 weight distribution. It has components from the Mustang Dark Horse, and it has an attitude that is all its own.
Very, very cool. Well, I can't wait to drive that. Probably not going to get to drive this anytime soon, but I would appreciate the opportunity and probably not waste the car. Thanks so much for being with us. We do appreciate it. And that was our interview with Brandon Tarkus, who is Enthusiast Vehicles Communications Manager at Ford. I got together with him at the Chicago Auto Show. You heard the background noise there from the Chicago Auto Show. He is an expert on the GTD supercar. And Chris, I know you're a Ford fan, have been in the past. Ford and Toyota fan. You're an egalitarian kind of person, Chris. Good for you. What are your thoughts on the Mustang GTD?
Yeah, you know, a $300,000 plus Mustang is quite a thing. I really like that Ford leaned into some of the supercar aspects of this vehicle. So letting customers choose a one-off color and then pay extra to like strike it so nobody else can have the same color. And some of the cool stuff. And then the bodywork, the aerodynamics, the titanium. Some of the engineering here is really amazing. And then, you know, the lap times on the Nürburgring kind of tell that story. So I'm all for it. You know, I don't know how many people are going to be able to buy one or how many they're going to make, but I'm glad it exists.
Yeah, it seems like very few, actually, talking to Brandon. But interesting to me, too. I mean, do you remember Craig Breedlove and the Spirit of America? Because this is called the GTD Spirit of America model. And this probably predates you by quite a bit. But Craig Breedlove was a land speed record guy from the mid-60s who bought a surplus jet engine. I don't know where you get a surplus jet engine, but he bought one. And, you know, set a bunch of land speed records against much better funded competition back in those days on the Bonneville Salt Flats and places like that.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably very little actual Mustang left in this car at
right.
this point. But I love that they, you know, that it still looks like a Mustang, but everything is kind of pushed to 11 on this car, which is awesome. But as you mentioned, shot across the bow of companies like Porsche, you know, the 911 GT3 RS is neck and neck with this car in price. It's a little bit down on power, but you get all-wheel drive in that car. So really interesting kind of comparisons that you could make between these ultra high-end, very expensive vehicles.
Yeah. I mean, it says a ton of horsepower, 815 horsepower, 664 pound-feet of torque. So that seems like a lot. But in the current era with 1,000 horsepower vehicles out there, they're doing a lot of aerodynamics and other things to get really good top speed and good track times. Beyond just the horsepower. It's not just a big engine and off we go.
Yeah, they spent a lot of time on the GTD product page and all their publications around the car talking about the aerodynamics and the downforce the car needs, the active suspension, all the things that put that power to the ground. Because without those things, 800 horsepower, you're just going to smoke the tires and go off the road backwards in many ways. So it's interesting to read. I mean, that's more fun for me to read about the suspension and the aerodynamics than it is about the power at this point.
Yeah, I like this. I mean, the front splitter, rear diffuser, spoiler, all of those kind of things, and just heavy duty testing that goes into this thing and making this thing very aero and with a top speed of nice little top speed of 202 miles an hour. How about that for a street legal car, Chris?
Only 202, huh?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I don't know of any roads anywhere that, well, other than maybe the in Germany where you could hit those speeds legally and not go to jail. So
yeah, I'll tell you. I think the fastest I've ever gone on the street was about 150 miles an hour, and it was a kind of a dumb thing I did when I was at Motor Trend long ago. Actually, several of us did.
I've done 170, but it was on a track. So.
Yeah, I did 170 on the track too, but on the street, 155 or so. That's I don't advise that. When we come back, we'll have our listener question segment. So stay with us. We'll be back with that right here on America on the Road.
Looking for a cruise vacation? Cruise.com is offering its exclusive sale of the year to all listeners to this station. Every major cruise line, including Royal Caribbean, Carnival, Princess, MSC, and more, are on sale now. Call 1-800-430-7924 and book one of these deals while supplies last. Cruises start from as low as $39 per person per day. There isn't a better vacation value to places like Alaska, Europe, the Caribbean, South America, America, and more. Call one of the largest cruise specialists in the world at 1-800-430-7924. We'll find you a vacation that includes drinks, Wi-Fi, excursions, and more. Call 1-800-430-7924. Again, that's 1-800-430-7924. Space is limited. Don't miss your opportunity to book the best deal of the year. That's 1-800-430-7924. Sponsored by Cruise.com.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property, and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now, before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Welcome back to America on the Road with co-host Chris Teague. This is Jack Nerad with you, and it is listener question time. Of course, we'd love to get your questions, your comments. So send them to us at editor@drivingtoday.com. That's editor@drivingtoday.com. I'm going to dive right into this question from Izzy in Tyler, Texas, Chris. This is what Izzy says. I'm looking to buy a used car. What signs indicate that it's in good mechanical shape?
Well, Jack, I am not a mechanic, and I know that many, many people, most people, in fact, are not mechanics. So I think the very first thing I will tell anyone looking for a used car and you're unsure of the condition is to pay for a pre-purchase inspection at a reputable third-party shop or somebody that you trust. So that person can help you understand the condition of the powertrain, the engine, and give you an idea of what might be coming down the road in terms of expenses and repair costs. I think after that or beyond that, you know, there's some things you can take a look at yourself, Jack, and you have more mechanical experience than I do, so you may have a different idea, but I would say, you know, take a look under the car and observe any leaking fluids or any puddles under the car, the things that if it's been sitting for a little while, the tires, you should always check the tire tread for even wear to make sure that you're not buying a car that will need a set of tires right away. Inside, you know, you can observe smells, stains, tears, things that are indicative that the previous owner didn't care about the vehicle and didn't take care of it. And then even without mechanical knowledge, you know, you can listen for strange ticking sounds, squeaks, rattles, those sorts of things while it's running. Jack, what would you like to add to that?
Very comprehensive, Chris. I would just suggest you do a test drive, see how it feels, see if it's pulling to the right or left when you're braking or doing some strange things as you're steering, whether the steering is responsive or not. Again, as you mentioned, kind of forensic stuff, looking at tears in the upholstery, just the fact that the car might have been ill-treated through the years. If the owner of the car has receipts for oil changes and stuff like that, that's worth taking a look at. If you like our show, pass it on. Listen on this radio station each week. You can tell your friends where you hear America on the Road. And of course, podcast is available too, right, Chris?
Absolutely. A quick Google search for the America on the Road podcast will bring us to you on all the major platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all the rest. Like us, download us, follow us, subscribe. All those things help us out and you can take us with you wherever you go.
Right. Go to our YouTube and Rumble channels and subscribe there. That would be terrific for us. We'd appreciate that. And our thanks to our sports Byline Network radio stations for carrying America on the Road. We appreciate that very much. And most of all, we appreciate you listening to America on the Road. We know you have a lot of choices of things you could listen to. So the fact that you've spent this time with us honors us. We feel very good about that. And we hope you join us again next time for another edition of America on the Road.